these talking heads down in the States, right? The debate shows continue, like First Take and Skip Bayless, and basically there's some creativity. I mean, those type of shows would have five producers, five content managers, and they're just churning out different evergreen debates. But I noticed that Skip Bayless, anyway, was getting back into the LeBron James greatest of all time debate, which I think is the most played out debate in pro sports. Is it not? Like,
yeah, but doesn't he hate LeBron, or is he isn't he known to hate LeBron or love LeBron? One
he hates two, on LeBron. Everything is LeBron. LeBron's a fraud. LeBron's an excuse maker. LeBron sucks. LeBron isn't the greatest. So it got me thinking, though, in terms of what we're doing here. We're coming up with creative content and different topics, and there actually have been a number of them over the past couple of weeks that have fallen at our feet and allowed us to really, you know, kind of dive into them and have different opinions and have different conversations. I would say in the NBA, there's no doubt LeBron versus Jordan, or LeBron in general as the greatest of all time, the most played out debate. I don't think it's even close. I think in baseball, the most played out debate is steroid users going into Cooperstown, followed closely by Pete Rose. Should he be reinstated? In football, I don't know if there's one in football. Like, I was trying to think of it. Maybe the importance of the running back. Maybe do you draft the running back high in the first round of an NFL draft? Maybe Brady or Belichick, who deserves more credit? But that storyline's still playing out. There's still going to be more, I think, data there for us to make a decision in the future. But I can't think of one in hockey. Like, unless I'm missing something, can you guys think of a debate that is the most evergreen hockey topic that always comes up, that everyone's got an opinion on?
Don't end the games in shootouts.
That one, like the shootouts versus three-on-three.
You're right.
That is one. Goaltender interference is another, where, you know, everyone's opinion. The other one, I don't know where people lie on this, but wasn't it for many years it was Ovi or Sid?
Yeah. Yep, that was a legitimate one. And I think that one probably, I guess it's been determined. I think Crosby, because of the cups and the hardware and the international resume and the position. But
it's not far off. Like,
it shouldn't be far off.
No, but that, like, for the many years, that's all I could think about, because the generation before was Gretzky or Lemieux, and there were a lot of people, and I think there's still people out there that believe that Lemieux was a better player than Gretzky. Mm-hmm. Like, I've actually not had spirited debates, but I've kind of seen both sides of it. I mean,
I don't see why your opinion would change. You know, if you thought 20 years ago Mario was better than Wayne, why would you think differently today? They haven't played in 20 years.
You're right. It's just I've seen both sides, like in having a conversation. You're having a drink with somebody on the road or whatever, and they're like, oh, no, I wholeheartedly believe that Lemieux was better than Gretzky. And then, you know, I just like to hear what people have to say. I think that was, in my lifetime, that was always a big argument. You know, because I think people thought Lemieux, had he been healthy, had he not missed time for cancer and all of that, that he may have been deemed kind of the top dog.
Yeah. I can picture one in 10 years. I think in 10 years we will be having McDavid versus Crosby.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I picture that when Connor's 31, 32. And I'm sure
Cups will be a major factor in the discussion.
Yeah, and it should be, I think.
Of course.
I mean, yeah, like Gretzky had cups, Mario had cups, and Sid's got his cups, and Ovi has a cup now. And fairly or unfairly, I think that factored in to the debate between Ovi and Sid. Once Ovechkin not only got a cup, he got a Conn Smythe, all of a sudden you look at the hardware, I think you could argue it's very close. I mean, Sid, because of where he was born, has two gold medals, but I don't think you can hold that against Ovechkin. Canada versus Russia, but at the NHL level, although there are similarities, you have to rely on your GM and your coach and the other teammates to put you in a position to succeed. I don't think anyone would suggest that Washington hasn't been loaded for the past decade, just like Pittsburgh has.
Yeah.
But if you look at individual awards, Ovi has more on his resume. Ovi's got, I think Sid has one more Conn Smythe, but Ovi's got more Hart trophies. He's clearly got more Rockets. And, you know, I'd have to look up the Ted Lindsay, but I would assume that's pretty close.
Well, that's what I was meaning. Like, all I can think of in recent history, for me, it was about 10 years worth. It was Ovi versus Sid. And then before that, it was Gretzky versus Lemieux. And I, like I say, I've seen both sides of the coin. And I think Ovechkin winning the cup has really bridged that conversation where I don't know where people lie, where Gretzky versus Lemieux, because again, it, you know, Lemieux had a little bit different career because of his health issues, but Lemieux was ridiculous.
Like, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. And Ray, we got started on this chat because I've noticed down in the States, you know, they're going back to the well. And on a lot of these talk shows down there, they're discussing LeBron versus Jordan. LeBron as the GOAT. I mean, it's the most played out evergreen NBA topic. And there isn't one that's even close. I think in baseball, steroid users in Cooperstown, Pete Rose reinstatement. I mean, those two topics have been played out forever, ever. Everyone's got an opinion. You can bring it up any day throughout the year. We had a tough time, or I had a tough time, coming up with one in the hockey world. All throughout whether or not there should be shootouts, noodles throughout for a time there. It was Mario versus Gretzky. Can you think of an evergreen hockey topic that is constantly coming up and leading to debate?
Well, if it's coming, you mean if it's coming up all the time?
Well, just in general. Like, you know what
I'm
saying?
Say,
like, everyone.
Who's the greatest player ever, right? Is the oldest argument than anything of forever.
Right.
And so to me, it comes to two people, and that's Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think Mario Lemieux is the most talented guy I've ever seen. Like, just think of what Mario could do at 6'5". Like, he would get the puck and hold it in his right hand and hold it kind of away from his body. I needed a long jump to get across to there. Like, you could never get it from him. If he had the desire, the burning desire that Gretz had, if he had the health that Wayne had, I think he would have been untouchable. Like, as far as his numbers, he would have just smashed everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was amazing. But if you ask me who changed the game the most, I would say Bobby Orr.
Right. Yeah, that is one that comes up. And I think it's a good thing to have. I mean, I do think the LeBron versus Jordan thing, it's the most played out topic in sports over the past 2 or 3 years. But one of them is still playing, and LeBron is still supplying us, you know, incredible data or evidence to make your case one way or the other, because he's doing something at his age that Jordan wasn't even close to doing. But I think it's healthy for your sport to have it. You know, I do think it's a good thing. And I guess based on this limited conversation we've had and a couple of the examples that have come up, doesn't surprise me that in the NHL it's generally rules-based. You know, 3-on-3 in overtime, goalie interference, reviewing goalie interference, the blue line challenge or the offside challenge, you know, shootouts. It's more complaints about the rule book as opposed to this player versus history.
I guess the other one would be, you know, who do you think's the greatest goalie of all time?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a clear-cut answer.
Three.
For me, it's Hasek. But don't you think
that's one that people will kick around all the time? Some people will say Marty Brodeur. Some people will say Patrick Waugh, and others will say Hasek.
Yeah,
I think that's a complicated one. That would have more. How do I say this? There'd be more vary of answer among those three than say Gretzky or Lemieux, for example.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on era, too. Are we just going, like, modern era? Because it's tough to judge, you know, Terry Sawchuk and
right.
Johnny Bauer
sure.
and all
yeah.
them. Like, that's the challenge because, you know, I have no idea. I never got to see them live. Most goalie people I talk to, it's not even close. It's Hasek. Like, Hasek won MVPs in the league where Gretzky and Lemieux were in the league. like that, you know, and multiple MVPs. Like he won multiple MVPs, like not just one. Like, and he won, I think, six Vezinas. Now, you know, Patrick, I think, had more cups and all of that, but, you know, that's more team-based. I
see, the cup stuff, I get conflicted with that. I heard you guys talking about that right when we came in. I think that was about Ovi and Sid. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that has to go right to be in the right place, even if you are the best player in the game. Because you could be, and your team isn't good enough to win otherwise. Maybe your goalie's not good enough. Maybe you've got three injuries on defense or whatever.
McDavid's a prime example.
Right. Like how, man, he can only do what he can do. You're only on the ice a third of the game. Two-thirds of the game, some other guys are out there determining whether you're a great player or not. And I don't know how that can be.
Well, I've always said if you haven't won a cup or a Super Bowl or a ring, that shouldn't hurt you. But if you have, it should help you, which, you know, may not necessarily
right.
make sense in the real world. But I do think if you have it, like, it's not like I'm going to exclude it. Hey, he's won five cups. So what? This is an no, I'm going to include it, you know. And also, you have the ability during those cup runs to put on performances for the ages, and I think that helped Ovechkin as well. He didn't just win a cup; he won the Conn Smythe.
Yeah,
that
right.
goes a long way, man. You had a Conn Smythe. There's only one guy that can get it, one guy, you know. And that, like the heart, you know. And you may only have one crack at it, and he has. He's only been in a cup final once.
Well, to climb on Ray's comment there, like I think you can put out there like recent history, like who's some of the best players who never won a cup? Like a Ginla comes to mind. You know, like Ray, but you said, like that's a, you know,
there
Ginla's
are many of them though, Noodles. When you get to the end of the run, Ginla is an all time great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But there are not a lot of them that don't have it.
You know who's another one? Is Doug Wilson. Now, maybe an under-the-radar name. I think he probably should be in the Hall of Fame. But Doug Wilson played for 20 years. He won a Norris Trophy. He was one of the best defensemen of his time. And they never won in Chicago. And then he went to San Jose, and they couldn't beat anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I would say there's probably more, Brian, than, like, I don't know, Joe Thornton.
Joe would be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that they don't exist. I think
they're more rare, right?
They're more rare. Like, you look at the best players of the past decade, and I'm just thinking of this on the fly. My up front, I would have Kane on the left, Sid in the middle, Ovi on the right. There's a lot of cups there. All three of them have won one. I'd have Doughty and Duncan
right
Keith. Yeah. I'd have Doughty and Duncan Keith on defense. Now, goalie might be different. I might have Carey Price. And Price doesn't have one. I might have Lundqvist. He doesn't have one. But the five guys that I fill out my roster with in terms of the all-decade team, they've all got cups, and a lot of them have multiple cups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brian.
I mean, it's not that there aren't other very good players. Thanks, Dwayne Casey. Was
that's
that on purpose?
Point,
no, I just...
It's like a bodily function now, Dwayne Casey.
No, I actually thought it was a very good point, but I made a joke about it. But they are outliers, but there are, if you go back, you can even go back in the last 20 years or 30 years, I guess Ray brings up Doug Wilson, but like there are players who were phenomenal players that just either were in a bad situation, carried their team. You know, Matt Sundin was a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
never won a cup.
Now, I don't think he was ever up for an MVP, though, was he?
No, he was never nominated.
What about Pat LaFontaine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he won the MVP
talent.
1 year. He was an incredible player.
Mm-hmm. He scored one of the most ridiculous goals on me that I can actually see. Like, if the video is out there, you know how you're always on – I'm always on somebody's highlight reel in the wrong way? He scored a goal on me in St. Louis. I'll never forget it because it was kind of a throwaway goal. We were beating, I had to say maybe Buffalo, I guess. We were beating his team. Or did he end with the Rangers?
He did. Rangers.
So we were beating them. And with about a minute left, he was one-on-one on Al MacInnis. And Al MacInnis kind of let him go wide. And he's a right-handed shot. And as he went wide, I went for the poke check. Al let him come across the front of the net. He curl and dragged around my stick, poke checking, threw it to himself, and shot the puck in left-handed into the net.
And so you're on your belly by this time, right?
I'm on my belly just picking flowers, and Al let him go. Al broke his stick over the net, and he came back and apologized. He was like, "I'm so sorry." He's like, "I should have broke his arm." And I was like, "Ah, don't worry about it." Like, it was still one of the greatest goals I've ever been scored on. He changed hands. He passed it over to himself from right to left and shot it in the net. It was ridiculous.
And do you think the game's changed? Your defenseman said, "I should have broke his arm."
I love that. Now they'd shake hands. Great move, Al. Good stuff. Good for you.
But he was a ridiculous player, getting back to that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not saying there aren't examples of great players. There clearly are. I'm just saying more often than not, if we were to go through the top 100 players in NHL history, I would assume 90 of them have won a cup. 80 at least.
I agree.
You know,
I think.
Now, again, that's a lot of it was, you know, they were playing when there were six teams in the league or there were 12 or whatever, and they were lucky to be in a situation where other great players were with them. You know, that would be an interesting exercise. How many of the top 100 featured teammates? Like, I would assume a fair amount of the players in the top 100 have a teammate or a line mate, you know, right there beside them. But still, you know, it adds to the resume. And I don't know. I was just thinking about that earlier with the LeBron stuff. I'm like, where is that NHL evergreen debate, topic? That
you're right, Brian. Like, I think Ray brought it up, though. Like, there, I don't know how many people, especially probably a generation ahead of me, that will argue Bobby Orr versus Gretzky.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I never had the luxury of watching him live. Or if I did, I was such a young kid, I don't remember. Where, you know, if there's people that are, you know, 7, 8 years older than I am, they watched Orr and they watched him dominate and kind of change the game from the back end.
Well, and I hope that the debate is allowed to be open again. Like, I hope we're not chained to history, because I do find that hockey and baseball, like baseball, it just seems like you can't compete with Babe Ruth. You know, I may be wrong on that. Maybe some would suggest Barry Bonds, but because of the steroids, he comes out of it. Maybe Willie Mays. You know, there's been a long list of great, great players. But
the problem is, Brian, it's like guys like you, like I hear you talking with the Quizmaster sometimes about lists and things, and I sometimes wonder how you can value a guy or slot him when you just look at numbers, because you've never seen the guy play, you have no idea kind of the impact, and yet you got to make an assessment on where they fall.
Well, it makes it difficult, and maybe I'm a victim of this in a way. It's like, well, I guess I got to put Babe Ruth. You know, everyone says Babe Ruth, and he had 700 home runs, and no one hit home runs back then. What I'm saying is, like, I hope Mike Trout can be included in the conversation. I hope in the NHL in 15 years, McDavid, you can make a legitimate case. Like, why does it have to be Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky for the next 200 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in basketball, it's not. It's modern. No one's sitting there saying, "Oh, Bill Russell." They're like, "No, Jordan or LeBron." In football, it's Tom Brady. No one's saying Sammy Baugh is the greatest because he did something amazing in the 40s or whatever.
Well, I think this should be, like, I mean, it would never be, but as you're talking about this, this should be in like 20 or 25 year blocks.
Yeah.
Because it is impossible to talk about Eddie Shore and Bobby Orr together, to Paul Coffey, to whoever you want to pick from today. Like, man, they didn't even have the same equipment, right? Yeah. like, how could you compare one? Like, could Babe Ruth hit Justin Verlander? Yeah, I don't know. He's a big fat guy.
What kind of slap shot would Bobby Hull have with a one piece?
Oh, man. Like,
oh, believe me,
and he was shooting on goalies with no masks. Yeah. I would assume that they had their butts were a little tight when he was winding up.
Well, but that's important to bring up, is that it does go both ways. Yeah, like, okay, maybe he's using that stick, but then you got to face, you know, Vasilevsky, who's out waiting for you with pads that he's 6'5", you know, 220. or whatever.
I heard this story about Bobby Jerry Cheevers, who was our color commentator in Hartford, just an amazing guy, hilarious. He told this story about Bobby Hull coming down the wing in Chicago Stadium, and he takes a slap shot. Right when he shoots it, the puck starts to wobble, and it hits Eddie Johnson, who was in goal for Boston, flat on top of the head, and the puck goes flying over the glass. Like, he could have killed him. And so Johnson goes down naturally, and Cheesy asks us, he says, who do you think's the first guy out there? And someone goes, the trainer? And he said, no, me. I got out there and told him to get up because I wasn't going in the net.
Just bought the golden jet flying down the wing with a knuckle puck waiting for your squash.
And
yeah,
believe
no
me,
thanks.
Those old-time players, like, I've actually been at a table with Brett and Bobby Hull arguing about the era adjustments because, you know, Brett was joking with him saying, if I played when you played, I would have scored 1,000 goals. And Bobby said, if you played when I played, you wouldn't have made it on the ice. Somebody would have killed you. And so that listening to them argue about it was pretty funny. Like that type of stuff. You know, I agree, Ray. It's tough to compare. And I've seen the analytics guys try and do it, like era adjustment. Yeah, it's too much. Like, you know, we don't know. Like,
well,
go ahead, Brian.
Noodles, you just mentioned an intangible that is important to bring up. Like, the fear factor, the intimidation was a big part of it. Like, that's right. Like, remember. I guess it's kind of a black mark on the game in a way, but when European players first came over here, they just got abused. Like every slash, every cross check, like it was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but so you started with LeBron and Michael Jordan. So just think of the players today in the NBA and then take a look at the highlight videos of the Lakers, Celtics, Pistons era. Mm-hmm. Short of bringing a club on the court, those guys were killing each other. It was not even close to today's game. So it's impossible or really difficult anyway to take a today great player and put them back and go, how would they have survived in that? Maybe they would have been unreal, or maybe they wouldn't have.
Well,
hard
and
to know.
That's why I think baseball has the best case, because it's not a physical sport in terms of actual contact, and you know, the ball has been relatively similar. Bats have changed. Like, bats have definitely changed in technology and workouts and diets and all that. But it's relatively similar. A pitcher throwing at a batter, you accumulate as many numbers as you can and you try to apply it. You know, the parks today, a park isn't the same. Like, Fenway isn't built the same as the Rogers Center. Just like it would have been 100 years ago. But in other sports, you're right. Like in the NBA is a great example. Steph Curry is now considered an all-time great player. No one shot threes 20 years ago. Nobody. So he couldn't play 20 years ago the way he does right now, 30 years ago, and vice versa. Like Jordan, I think Jordan would figure it out and would learn to shoot the three, but he'd probably be perceived differently if he didn't. If he was a mid-range guy, I don't know what his game would look like in 2020. You know, football rules have changed as well. The protection of quarterbacks. I'm sure there's old school quarterbacks that are like, yeah, you think Tom Brady's the greatest of all time? You know, put him out there against Lawrence Taylor with no rules. See what happens. Dick
well,
Butkus.
Look at some of the highlight videos from the 70s, and you're like, man, that was assault.
Yes.
when they would pick a guy up and, you know, now they whistle the play dead, the defensive guy would run him backwards 5 yards and drop him on his head.
All of the old school guys love it when they post those videos. Back when this sport was real.
Yeah.
And people just start killing each other.
Like guys like that. Wasn't that Dick Butkus known as one of the
nastiest human being maybe in pro sports history? Would literally threaten people, would bite fingers, try to jam you in the eye if you could get your eye. You know, it was crazy. Like, crazy. Like, if he could gouge your eye in a scrum, he would do it. Just to send a message. As if it's your fault you're in the scrum.
Yeah. You got to get out of there, man. You can't be hanging around.
Dude, you tackled me. Why are you gouging my eye out? You're on top of me. What's the problem here? But anyway, well, I guess it'll never be determined. But that's what makes, you know, the debates. It doesn't matter if they're playing games. You can always circle back on these.
Well, yeah. We're going to need it tomorrow.
Yeah, and likely for quite some time. So we'll keep thinking. We'll put our heads together. It should lead to magic. It generally does. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. We'll talk to you boys later on.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, reminding everyone that we all bleed the maple leaf. It's the strength and compassion we share as a community that has and will get us through anything. The website is MapleToyota.com.